I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using, and who have found a new way of life. As long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. Thank you.
I would like to introduce our speaker, Stephanie V from the Stronger Together group of NA in the ICANA area of NA.
I'm an addict. My name's Steph. I just want to say that I am truly blessed and truly humbled to be speaking at this retreat. There are a lot of people in this room that knew me when I first started my journey in Narcotics Anonymous back in 2009 in Johnstown. I mean, I want to talk about like a full 360 happening right now for me, and it is, I'm so grateful. Narcotics Anonymous has absolutely saved my life and the people in it. My clean date is July 11th, 2019, so just over a little month ago, we celebrated 5 years. And just wait, because all you old-timers told me that's when my head would pop out of my ass, right? But like, what ended up happening was like a metaphorical hemorrhoid, kind of, secretly. I'm just gonna get this out of the way because God works, He works how He works, right? And this past month of my life has been a really big change, right? Because I used to come into Narcotics Anonymous and the first thing I wanted to do was like fill a void and find a distraction from the pain that I was feeling. And this time I came around and I waited a little bit and I ended up in like the most healthy relationship that I have been in my whole life. And that relationship dissolved a week ago. So, you know, if I start crying just like out of nowhere, I'm a very emotional person. I don't know about the rest of you, but I think as a part of my disease of addiction is that like I'm this big feeler, right? Any kind of feeling, happiness, sadness, joy, I don't know how to feel it. And as my therapist calls it, it's called emotional regulation. I wanted to say, sis, like, I'm in Narcotics Anonymous, I don't know how to fucking regulate anything. Like, this, like, big feelings and low feelings are very, very hard to get through. You know, and we say feelings aren't facts, but feelings are valid. And I am at the point where, like, my whole life is changing again. And any other time that this has happened to me in Narcotics Anonymous, I had backed myself into a corner that I couldn't get out of clean. And a lot of you saw that. I am so fortunate that what I did this time around was like reach out and make this beautiful, growing, evolving we. That like when this relationship ended, I didn't feel alone. I didn't feel like it was just gonna be me taking care of my daughter. Like, I have so many people in my life today from Narcotics Anonymous. It takes a village, right? And my village has completely distracted me this past week. You know, has always there for a phone call. You know what I mean? Like, I call my mom and she's gonna instantly be like, "That son of a bitch," but you know what I mean? And like, I don't need that right now. Like, it was a mature, amicable breakup. And I had said to my sponsor, I said, "Do these things really happen? Like, we didn't throw plates, like nobody was swearing, like it was just like we both need to move on and it's what's best for both of us and it doesn't hurt any less, right?" But I didn't have to get high over it today. And like, that's what comes from working the program of Narcotics Anonymous, because I can sit my ass in a seat all day and you know, say that I'm a member, but if I'm not practicing some principles in my life, I came in here to get off drugs. This was my option to stop using, but the longer I stayed around, it became about being a better quality of a human being. You know what I mean? Like, how can I change the way that I behave, because the disease is me. It is me, everything about me, and the drugs were a symptom. So we're just gonna get that out of the way. We're not gonna talk about that anymore. I think it's really important. Like, clearly I'm standing up here because I had a problem with drugs for a really long time. I like to say, though, that, like, when I was growing up, I had this idea in my head that, like, everything was a fantasy. So, like, it was, like, already very self-centered of me. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Truman Show, but I thought Jim Carrey was me. I thought there were, like, cameras following me around as a child. Like, everything I was doing, I always thought that, like, everybody was looking at me when they weren't. You know, like, I was not the center of attention. I wasn't the center of attention in my family. I'm one of two siblings, and it was very known in my family that, like, I was my dad's favorite, my sister was my mom's favorite. Like, it wasn't, and my parents were split up, so I didn't get to see my dad that often. I started using drugs because I wanted to fit in, and they were my escape that I needed. I remember, so I just got my teeth done, okay? It took me 5 years. I had this, my front tooth was dead, okay? It had been dead for years. It was like turning this like gangly color of orange, and I was, you know, I thought like that's the only thing that people can notice. And so this year I decided, I was like, I'm gonna get my teeth fixed. And there was like, do you ever have these moments where you're like, I remember that day that my tooth broke? The days after that were the days that I started using to stop feeling pain. It wasn't because it was fun anymore. It wasn't because I was enjoying time with my friends. It was because I had gone through some trauma and I didn't want to feel that trauma, and drugs helped me escape that. but I don't want to give you guys like this whole big log on drugs. I did enough of them. I really like to talk about like what this program has done for my life in the last 5 years and how I've made it through some things, because it's not easy. We don't come in here and like life all of a sudden opens up and like gives us all of these opportunities. If we stay clean, they do come. They do come. I've noticed it. I've seen it in my own life. But if I don't start changing behaviors and I don't start changing my lifestyle, I have experienced backing myself into a corner that I couldn't get out of clean plenty of times. I was in a Johnstown halfway house like 3 times. You know what I mean? Like 3 times, okay? I just like kept coming back, like kept coming back. I met my daughter's father in the man's halfway house. But it was the first time that I ever walked into a room, and I'll never forget it. And I was just telling Jason before I came up here, there was this guy who I had gotten off the bus from the halfway house so scared. I was like 4 weeks after my 21st birthday. And this man walked up to me. He didn't know me from a can of paint, and he gave me this huge hug. And he said, welcome. And that man still texts me every morning. You know what I mean? I'm talking 15 years later. It didn't matter that I was out there using or anything else. Like every morning, good morning, girl, I love you, be blessed, or whatever. He would send me all these audio files and stuff. And like, I remember that. Like, I remember how other people make me feel. And I think that's something important I needed to learn in Narcotics Anonymous, because I need to show and I need to put in effort, unconditional love and support to everybody who's in here, because we never know what somebody's going through. And it's hard for me, right? I have this like resting bitch face. I have this like, please don't come near me, don't talk to me kind of look. If you do, I'm sweet as pie. I think I'm funny. You know, it's just about like getting through that barrier, and I need to be better at doing those things. So I didn't get clean here, obviously, in Johnstown, and I made a move to just another county, right, where we think that we can move places, people, and things, and I did. I've picked up multiple year key tags in here, but like I didn't want to put in the work. I didn't want to sit down with a sponsor and like tell people things that I did when I was using that like really bothered me. I knew I belonged here, I just didn't know where I fit in. And like trying to find that, like it takes effort and it takes time, and I didn't wanna wait. I wanted to like already be a part of you, you know? And it didn't happen fast enough, and for like a shy, neurotic, very excitable person, like if it didn't happen right away, I needed it, it wasn't gonna happen at all. So I ended up in Washington County. And my last run, I think, is like the most important to talk about. I always took a hostage. it's easier, misery loves company, right? And it's easier to bring somebody with you. And, you know, I deal with a lot of that myself, but me and that hostage had split up and I was homeless. I had no family. I had a daughter in 2014 and she is the light of my life today. Some of you may know him, but my daughter's father passed away in 2016 from an overdose. And I remember at that time thinking to myself, like, not the hurt for me, but the hurt for this little girl who wasn't ever gonna have her dad put her on the bus for first grade, or wasn't ever gonna be able to like do the daddy-daughter dance at her wedding. And like those things just like ripped at my soul. Like, we hurt so many people that we don't even realize. Just like this brand new baby was never gonna get to know her dad. And that didn't stop me from to continue to use. And I'm very lucky that I have the family that I have who took care of her while I was gone. Some people are not that lucky, and I count my blessings every day for my mom and my gram for doing those things for me. But I ended up here this time because of a prison sentence. Now, prison ain't funny, but the story that got me there can kind of be. If we want to look at it from a different perspective. I was homeless and I was living in Washington. And I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only person in here who's ever worked at a Waffle House. Okay, it sounds like some people have. And they tell you when they do training, they're like, now listen, if anybody comes in to rob this place, just give the money over. And I'm like, okay, cool, all right, I don't put up a fight, I don't fight, you know? And so this thought started creeping into my mind, this obsessive thought while I was using, that, well, I could just go rob the Waffle House and they'll just give me the money. And at the time, I'm, you know, 118 pounds soaking wet, I have really short hair, I'm covered in tattoos, so I don't know what kind of disguise I thought I was gonna put on. A bandana was sufficient, I figured, a bandana. So now I'm like a real robber. And so I worked at this Waffle House, right? And then I walk into said Waffle House and said, John, give me the money. And he went, no. I don't know how to give it to you. And I said, bullshit, you put the no sale button in, like just pull the register, you know? And I was getting so frustrated, and I remember saying to him, like, I don't wanna be doing this. Like, please just give me the money. Well, behind me, on the outside of the Waffle House, his wife was out there. And his wife at the time was a little bigger of a woman than me. I would say she was about 6'2". She also had a mullet, which is important to note. And she came running into the store, okay, and was like, what are you doing? I will kick your ass right now. Get out. And I followed direction. That was the only time I've ever followed direction recently. Okay, I beat fucking feet. Okay, the fastest I've ever ran, okay? And those last 11 days before my clean date, I was running. I mean, everybody was looking for me, like the sheriff. I didn't want the sheriff showing up at my mom's house and my daughter having to see that stuff. And I know that there are people in this room who have reached that point where you can't get high anymore. There isn't a desire to live, and it seems easier to take your own life. And I had transitioned. I thought substitution at this point in my life was like what I should do. I should stop doing heroin and just inject a lot of cocaine. It was the wrong idea. Don't ever do that. My life crumbled so fast in like 11 months. Like, and I've been like a true blue heroin addict my whole life. And those 11 months were the worst 11 months that I've ever experienced. So I went the day before my clean date and I bought enough heroin to put down a horse. And I walked into the woods in the west end of Washington, and I thought, everybody is going to be better off without me. And I took it all at once, And then I woke up 4 hours later with this big noggin on my head from falling over on a tree, and I'm like, God, I'm so unsuccessful at everything I try to do. And that was that moment of clarity where I knew Narcotics Anonymous was the answer. But now what was I going to face? We didn't think about that when we were walking in thinking we were going to get God knows how much money out of a Waffle House at 9 o'clock on Sunday. You know what I mean? We made obsessive, impulsive decisions. And so I walked into the Washington County Sheriff's Department. I was like, you're looking for me? And the sheriff felt so bad for me. He took me through the Wendy's drive-thru before he took me to jail. Now, I don't know, but there's bars on the back windows. They're having a real hard time handing me a Frosty. And I'm like, dude, like, just do it the roundabout way. Like, can I get my food? And ended up in Washington County. And I remember the first time they came down, they said, your offer is a 4 to 8. 4 to 8? Like in prison time? Is that what we're talking about right now? Because they had charged me with a gun. They had charged me with intent to commit bodily harm. And I just remember thinking, like, I'm not gonna see my daughter until she's 13. If my mom would even let me see her at that point. And I just started praying. Like, there has to be another way out. There has to be a reason that I'm still here. There has to be something that, like, there's grace and mercy in this program, and I've experienced so much of it. And when my defense attorney came to me and said they're willing to offer you Washington drug court, I took it immediately. And it got me right back in to where I knew I needed to be. I needed that accountability. I needed to have to go to a meeting every night. I needed to have to start meeting people and putting myself out there. And today, we're calling it technically today, I finished that program with a seven years of probation tail. So that would have taken me to 2028. And as of today, I've been released off of Washington County probation for being a productive member of society. And that is only because of Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I mean? Like, we come in here and we have so, like, the goals that I had set for myself when I first came in here, like, I was so excited to get a job at Arby's for $12 an hour. You know what I mean? Like, those little things that mean so much to us when we don't have anything. Or the person that comes up to you and gives you a hug and is like, hey, I want to get your number. I really liked what you shared at a meeting. Like, those things, do I need validation sometimes? Hell yeah, I do. You know what I mean? Like, I'm recovering, but not well. And so I've started to surround myself with all of these wonderful people. And again, I got into that really healthy relationship, and like my life just started changing. I started working steps. I started getting involved in service. I've been involved in service since the very beginning. GSR in my home group, and then I moved up to the area level and was vice secretary, then secretary, really quickly. And then I was the convention liaison for last year, and now I'm the RCM. And I'm like, who is this person? Because this person that I see, or you guys see standing in front of you wearing a cardigan, like, I don't know that person. Some days I look in the mirror and I'm like, who are you, sis? But like, it has all been good changes. I went to go give my first lead when I had 18 months clean at a South Hills meeting. And I remember getting Starbucks and walking into the meeting with my friends, and I said, there's a lot of people here. And the next thing I know, I'm waking up in an ICU in Mercy Hospital. I had went into cardiac arrest at that meeting. And everybody, of course, is like, she's overdosing. Like, get Narcan. But I had done so much damage to my heart that it's irreparable. They put a defibrillator in, which I didn't know what that was when they said it. They were like, we're just gonna put this box in that, like, if your heart ever starts like beating incorrectly, it'll shock you. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know, didn't think about it at all when they said they were gonna do this. And that was the first 18 months. So I had died in recovery. Like, I was in the ICU in a coma for 11 days, and God brought me out. Like, I'm here standing today. And if I ever think that I should question God's will, all I need to do is look back on the last 5 years of my life and realize that everything that I've gone through, the pain, heartbreak, all of that, there is a lesson to be learned if you can get to the end of it without picking up a drug. Fast forward 2 years later, I have been very blessed with the people that I have in my life in recovery, right? Like, if we start asking around and, like, I don't know how to change my oil, somebody in recovery does, and somebody's going to help me. If I don't know how to get a job and I start asking around in recovery, somebody knows somebody, right? And a really good friend of mine offered me a job. Well, didn't offer it to me, but he slightly nudged me in there. To work as a certified recovery specialist at Allegheny General Hospital. And it was like the first time that like I've ever experienced like having like a real career. Like, how does this 401k stuff work? Like, where really is my money going? What kind of health insurance do I have if it's not Medicaid? Like, I'm just wondering. I don't know how these things go. You know, when I was in the halfway house in Johnstown, I was 21. I didn't even know how to do my own laundry. My counseling sessions were, she was showing me how to cook eggs. Like, that's the type of animalistic level that I was living on when I got in here. I didn't know how to live a life. And so I got this really great job. And you know, as a person in recovery, when you work in the recovery field, like, your anonymity is outed, right? Like, I have to recover out loud, which I don't have no problem doing. Like, if you would have seen, if I could have like a big billboard of a picture of what I looked like 5 years ago, you would not recognize the person that is standing in front of you. And I think that that's really important. Like, we change in here, and the world outside of us, right, has a hard time believing that sometimes. Like, we get this stigma and this bias that comes along with the word addict, and I so badly wanted to just ram against that, you know? So, like, I got into education and, like, trying to educate people about what people with substance use suffer with and how we can recover. And so they asked me to do this conference about what it's like to be a peer and what it's like to be in recovery. So I need you to picture this, because I don't know how to make a fucking PowerPoint, okay? So I'm making this PowerPoint and I'm like, this thing better go off without a hitch. It's gonna be fine. The only reason I'm having to do this is because Joe got left 2 weeks earlier and they were like, oh, Steph, we're passing this on to you. So I walk into this big conference room, it's filled with doctors, nurses, all of these people that I want respect from. You know what I mean? Like, I want somebody to say, like, oh, here is a person in recovery who has completely changed their life, because I think it's important that people see that. They didn't get to see that. I got up on stage and I was about 60 seconds through my whatever I was doing, and my defibrillator went off. Okay, now I don't know if you've ever been tased before, but it's like internal tasing, right? And so I scream because I'm like, oh, what's this, you know? And my head doctor is sitting right in front of me, and she's like, did your, and I'm like, just hold on a minute. Pride and ego's getting in the way now, because, like, we're gonna finish this. We're gonna do it. We're gonna get through it, and it's gonna be fine. 45 seconds later, I went into cardiac arrest again. So now I'm on the floor with all the doctors around me. My eyes are waking up, and I'm like, I've never been more humiliated in my life. I don't even care that, like, my heart just stopped. Like, this is humiliating. And I, something happened to me that day when I was in the hospital. Like, I think it's very important to talk about mental health in here. We all have our different opinions on it. We know NA has an opinion on it, but I will tell you, as a person who never really struggled before, like, if you were to come to me and say, Steph, I have really bad anxiety, like, I couldn't empathize with that because I didn't know what that felt like. But when I left that hospital, I was scared. I had a literal fear of dying. And it's ironic, right? Because, like, I used drugs for years with no fear behind that, no fear of dying whatsoever. And now I have this beautiful life, and, like, that fear consumed me. Like, I almost became agoraphobic. I couldn't leave my house. I couldn't walk into a meeting without having a serious panic attack. Like, I couldn't even say my name. And it was a really tough period in recovery for me. But NA is just so beautiful. Because, like, I'm sitting in that hospital bed. They put that goddamn sheet on you. They had just put a stent in my heart. I don't want to be dealing with nobody right now. I have no bra on. And here comes one of my friends with five other people. You're only supposed to have two guests. I don't know who he bribed at the security desk downstairs. And they bring me in a meeting. And that's what we do for each other in here. Like, we step up. Like, when people are hurting or people are going through situations, like, we show up for each other. My family wasn't there at that hospital, but my Narcotics Anonymous friends were there. And it makes me emotional because, like, I don't know. Like, I, again, had died, unmeaningful, and I wanted to have a good life. It took me 4 years to get custody back of my daughter. Things don't come in here in the time that we want them to. And I don't think, thinking back now, like even in my year, 2 years of recovery, that I could have been responsible for another human being character. You know what I mean? She's 9 now, and she is the light of my life. She also is karma reincarnated. Okay, so I am looking at me everywhere I go, and Beatitude is right there, and you know, she's had so much trauma in her life, right? We think about the things that we put these kids through. Her dad had passed away. I, you know, moved her from another school. I didn't know what that felt like. I'm bringing new people into her life, and she became really educated on what Narcotics Anonymous was because I had to explain where I'd been for years. And the excuse is being sick or mommy was on vacation. Kids are smarter than we think they are. You know what I mean? And she knew. And so I had to give her that kid-friendly, truthful conversation. That was a big thing. And it took a lot of therapy. It took a lot of trial and error with just what I was comfortable with doing and a lot of praying and a lot of doing step work to get through that situation, because like my mother is also agoraphobic, and so now I'm like WebMD and everything, and I'm like, well, agoraphobia is genetic. No, it's not, you idiot. Like, it, you know, I just, it's, it was a definitely super scary situation for me, and I am so grateful to be alive today. I am. Like I said, my daughter moved in within the last year, and it's just been a whirlwind of emotions and everything else. I had gone through my first 12 with my first sponsor, and I had recently just made a changeover, and it was the best decision that I could ever make. Because sometimes we need like another perspective, right? Like, my friends are pretty good at not co-signing my shit all of the time. Like, when in our current situation, like, well, I miss him, I should call him. Or maybe I should run his crossbow over with my car. And they're like, no, don't do that, honey. Just leave the crossbow where it's at. We have to help ourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually in here. And that's what the program does, right? But like, we have to put in the effort. I never in my life did I realize how much effort it is to be a friend, or to be in a relationship, or to be a good daughter, or to be any of those things. I just thought that like people would fall into my lap and I would be like, oh, you're my best friend now, and that's that. The people that I have in my life, like, I had to put effort into having those relationships with. And it's not always easy, and it's definitely not always comfortable. I feel like, you know, sometimes it's a give and take. And we had made plans to go to World next week. Like, who doesn't want to be able to say that they've gone to the World Convention? I do. I want to say it. You know what I mean? Like, I want to say it just for accountability purposes. If you ever ask me, yes, I was at World. Yeah, absolutely. But like, the opportunity itself is like a really major thing, right? And I'm going through having to move and like, you know, we as people who work in recovery, like, I don't have a money tree growing in the backyard, and if you know where I can find one, please come see me after the meeting. And you know, I've had to learn how to budget money But I have also learned in recovery that life is fleeting and that people will disappear and we never know when the bus is coming. And so do I want to enjoy every day that I can with the people that love me? Absolutely. Do I spoil my daughter? Absolutely. You know what I mean? Because those were things that I didn't have growing up as a child. People die around here and it doesn't even need to happen. I think that, you know, I'm sure you guys struggle in this area with as much as we struggle back in Icana, but I can't stress enough that what one little bit of unconditional support can do for a person walking into a meeting, no matter how they got there, no matter what they're on or anything, because there's two different terms, right? Like there's being clean and there's recovering, right? Like I got clean in Narcotics Anonymous and then I learned to recover. And that meant changing my life and changing the things I was doing. And that doesn't happen for everybody overnight. And I see it all the time. And I don't want to be a person that has ever made anybody feel like they don't belong here, ever. Because you do. You do. My sister had been using for years and years and years, and she had seen me come in and out of the program and trash my family's life. And, you know, she decided it was best that one day she pretend to go to Cove Forge and like never come back. And that was about 7 years ago. And in the meantime, I did what I thought was best and I would reach out to her and I would, you know, say like, if you need anything, like if you, whatever, like you need to go to treatment, you want to go to a club, I don't even care at this point. Like, I just want to get you to a point where I feel that you're safe. And she had texted me one morning and she had asked me for money. And I don't do everything right in here. You know, I know what dope sickness feels like. I know what that desperation feels like. And that empathy took me to a place where I was willing to send her that money, you know, and because I just wanted her to feel better for a moment and then maybe get like a sense of clarity. I don't know. Was it the right thing to do? I don't know, you know, but the next day I got a phone call from my mom at 11:15 saying that my sister had passed away. And, you know, my first response was, did she overdose? And my mom said, no. She took a gun and she committed suicide. And we know what that feels like. You know what I mean? Like, you know that desperation of like, I can't, I experienced it myself. Like, I was okay with taking my own life. And like, when it happened, I didn't know how to express sadness or grief in the correct way. And it came out in a lot of anger. We didn't have any money, you know what I mean, to like cremate my sister or have like a celebration of life, which is what I thought she needed, right? Like I wanted to take this like whole idea of like her being this drug addict and her life ending so horribly, and I wanted to put something very nice on top of it because I thought that she deserved that because she was a good kid. And the disease had taken her, whether it took her that way or another way. And I was able to have that service because of Narcotics Anonymous. Like, I was able to have a beautiful service for my sister because of people in Narcotics Anonymous. And I was sitting in the front row because I was meant to give the eulogy, and like, I was just, you know, so all over the place at the time. And I turn around and I get up to the podium, and like, one half of the room is filled with family, and the other half is filled with Narcotics Anonymous members, like people who didn't know her from a can of paint, but knew me and knew that like another addict had just lost their life because of the disease of addiction. And like, we needed to be there to celebrate that. And I will never forget that. I will never forget that. The days that I have that are so hard and you think like, I'm just not going to be able to get out of this. And like, where's my faith instead of fear and all of that shit. I will always remember those people showing up for me. And like, I have that responsibility to show up to the next person too. You know, the next person that needs something. It has been a very tough 2 years, you know, going through all that stuff. And then what's happening now, like, I suffer from fear, and I know that that's a character defect, and clearly need to be revisited in step 6 and 7, which I think are what I've been told the meat and bones of recovery. You know, sponsorship is the key to how we get better in here. You know what I mean? My sponsor, I don't know what I would do without her, and I also don't know what I would do without my sponsees, because like they keep it real with me. They trust me. Like, I've never been trustworthy in my life, but I have a group of girls who will call me and like tell me a secret, and they know that it's not going anywhere else. I have men in recovery who they're, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't be a friend with a man before. Like, I wanted you to marry me, and when that didn't happen, there are people in here, wink wink, I would get high, and like that's nobody's fault but my own, you know what I mean? Like, we set unrealistic expectations on people when we really should be working on self-love, and that's what I should have been doing for the last 3.5 years of my life. And thank God I had a tiny bit of clarity to know to have other people in my corner, because when shit hits the fan, I can't just count on Steph, because Steph makes really bad fucking decisions. And I have all these people from this program who show up every day. You know what I mean? Every day. I love our area. I love this area. I have a special heart. I have a special place in my heart. For this area and for what it had offered me the many years that I kept coming back and you kept accepting me. You know what I mean? Like, you might have got a few eye rolls, or you know what I mean, like, oh, here she comes again, but like nobody ever stopped from giving me a hug, or nobody ever said that I didn't have a seat here. And like, that's what we need around here. That's what we need, is unconditional love and support for the next newcomer. That could be hard, right? Like, we like to find the chaos in some situations, and you know, I might spill the tea once in a while, you know, like that's just the human nature, I think. But I live my life off the basis of gratitude when I can, unconditional love when I can, and the faith that things will always be okay no matter what, as long as I don't use. Because life is going to continue to show up for everybody. You know what I mean? Like, we really don't know when the bus is coming. And I want to be able to say that, like, I lived a good life, I raised a good daughter, I had a good job, and I had amazing friends that I made tons and tons of memories with. And I don't know, man, like, it has been a huge blessing this past 5 years to experience what real recovery can look like. Because I've seen it in you guys for years. I just didn't know how to get it for myself, and it really wasn't that difficult, right? It's this simple program that we tell people to do, and we just don't want to do it because we're complicated. I don't know. I feel like I've said what I've had to say, and I cannot express the gratitude that I have for the people. Even just looking out and like seeing familiar faces and things like that, like, you know when you know. When you walk past a person, you know when you know. And that's when you know you need to give a hug. So I'm an addict. My name's Steph. That's it.